The gospel reading for this evening is from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave them the name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. The song that's one of the newer Christmas songs within the last couple decades, looking at newer Christmas songs, that has been really popular, especially in churches. Mary, did you know? What about Joseph? I mean, really? Mary, did you know? Yes, she did. Joseph is the one who had to find out next, What about Joseph? And Mary, of course, Mary knew some things that Joseph didn't know right off the bat. For example, Mary knew that she had not been unfaithful to Joseph, which Joseph had to take at the word of a dream by an angel. Joseph, did you know? I mean, he carried a lot of weight too. He does disappear from the story right after the time when they were caravanning out and they lose track of where Jesus is and find out that he's back in the temple. Go back and get him, and that's the last we hear of Joseph. His story is now over as far as what goes on in Jesus' life. It's presumed that he must have died at some point in there, and that's why he's not mentioned any further. But we're just not given any more of his story. Mary knew that she had been faithful even though she was now pregnant. Joseph had to go by the trust of this dream and an angel appearing to him in a dream. And really, kind of like the old Baptist song goes, trust and obey is where he was left to be. Our responsive reading tonight really covers all that there is to know about Joseph. He was betrothed to Mary, not married yet. You go through like a year-long kind of engagement or so. It was the process. But betrothed was as being married. There was already a contract in place that was having to be honored. And so that's why it was such a big thing that she ends up pregnant, and it talks about he had to consider to divorce her. Even though they were not married, that contract was a binding agreement, so a divorce would have to take place. But he was a just man, a person who would do the right thing, a person who would do the good things. And so instead of putting her to shame, he was going to divorce her quietly. He was of the house and line of David, so this qualifies our understanding how Jesus comes from that line of David, as Mary was also. He was a carpenter, and he, at some point in Mary, have other children, because we have brothers and sisters that are noted of Jesus later on. And also, then, he was the son of Jacob, which puts him back in that line as well. An angel of the Lord commands him, and he listens to what that angel says. So he is also somebody who is a devout believer. And we talk about the faithfulness of Mary. Really, Joseph kind of gets sold short in this whole story, because he had a great amount of faithfulness, obviously, as well. And even in some unique ways that I'm about to share with you also. And he certainly was one that cared about his adopted son, if you will. Because it even notes that the parents, that they were astonished when they found Jesus away, and why have you treated us so? We were searching in great distress. I mean, can you I mean, really, can you imagine? God gives you his son and you lose him? Sorry, God, I don't know where he went. He wandered off. I don't want to be answering to him when it comes to the child care issues, you know. Wow. But that's about it, really. We don't have anything else about Joseph. But there is something that does take place that's really unique with Joseph that is beyond that of anyone else of Scripture, and it's not something I've ever really heard anyone talk about. He has four dreams that involve God giving him directions. The first three, it clearly says that in that dream an angel speaks to him. So he has three times that an angel speaks to him. Nobody else in Scripture gets that. None of the others have that. I mean, an angel appears, yes, but three times an angel comes to Joseph. And then in the fourth dream, it doesn't actually say that an angel speaks to him. It just says that he was warned in that fourth dream. But there's Mary was pregnant with the Son of God. That's the first announcement. And then when the wise men depart, and this is a year or two later we're talking, when the wise men depart, then he's warned about mad King Herod and they need to flee to Egypt. And then when Herod dies, they're told by that angel a third time that they can go back now to the land of Israel. And so they're heading back there. But then interesting, as they're on their way, one of Herod's sons that was just as off the rocker as he was, Archelaus, was the one that took over. And so now he's warned not to go in the direction he had been going, but to turn off. And then he goes to the district of Galilee and to the town of Nazareth. And thus he's Jesus of Nazareth. I'm thinking one angel appearing in a dream is enough for me for the rest of my life. Because at that point, you not only have the fear of God, but you also have the direction of God, and you've got, you know, Lord, you've... So many people, they say, I would love to have just a straight word from God, you know, just God come and tell me, God appear before me. Let me tell you, careful what you ask for. This is a big thing, having God appear to you. And that's what, when an angel shows up, it's as having God appear to you. Because that's what the angel can do. Only what God has told them, they're the direct messenger. This is as if God himself is showing up on the scene, giving you the word. And that's what you have to take it as. And to have that direct line with God is a fearful thing. And that, our God is an awesome God, right? The idea of having him tell me one-on-one. I mean, I love having his word. I love being in that word. I love the way he has given us the church and the sacraments to be able to be united with him. But when it comes to direct revelation from God, I'm thinking that would be scary. A lot of fear perhaps there. Now, fear can be a great motivator. It can get people up and going. Or fear can also be something that kind of pulls our heart and spirit out because we're just to the point where we can't handle whatever's coming next. For Joseph, the first thing I'm thinking that he had to deal with when he awoke that next day, other than, did that really just happen? Might be the idea of what in the world is it going to be like now? In particularly, how is this going to change the rest of my life? And even more detailed, perhaps, in the idea of what is everyone going to think? Because either they're going to presume that I have not been an honorable man because Mary is pregnant before she should be, because we're not to that stage yet, or they're going to think that someone else has been with Mary, and now they're going to know that I'm raising a child that's not mine. And either way, in the pious community of Jews that he would be in, this is not going to be good for life, for business, for anything. People are not going to hire him as a carpenter because you know what he did, or you know what happened in his family. He's going to have a bad reputation from those that know him from this point on, and he's going to have to accept that that's his life. That's what you're calling me to deal with, Lord? But maybe that's more what was in the direction from the angel, when the angel said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Now, with Mary, don't be afraid. Here's an angel appearing, and that's what we get in all these angel stories, Old Testament, New Testament. Fear not. And I'm a great and powerful angel appearing before you. Don't be afraid. And the calming idea there. But since it's in a dream, maybe that's the way it took place differently for Joseph. But he doesn't say don't be afraid about the fact that God's talking to you right now. But don't be afraid about what's going to happen in life. Trust in God. Know that what's coming next, you're going to be cared for and God is going to be with you in it. No matter what happens, you don't have to worry. We deal with fears. Fears are things that are so common for us in our lives, right? We have the fear of what others think about me. The fear of, you know, is my hair the way it should be when I'm going out in public? Am I wearing the clothes that are right when I'm going out, wherever I'm going? Are people looking at me? You know, there's a concern we have about what others think about us. Certainly that had to weigh heavily on Mary and Joseph, because what others think about them is a big issue. You know, do I look right in this selfie I'm taking in the mirror in the bathroom? You know? You know, I've been so tempted to do one of those and put that up on my page, you know, just find some big public bathroom with all the facilities behind me. Yeah, just. Yeah, please don't, right? It comes in this line, you know, when we're younger, we're a lot more concerned about what others think about us. And as we get older, it gets almost to the point where it almost becomes a mockery type thing. I'm willing to go there just to go there, you know, just to have fun with it. But still, people can be obsessed with what other people think. And it can be in our lives in so many ways, from how we look, to how we talk, to our level of education, to where we live, to the kind of car that we drive, to how our dessert turned out. I told him it was good, Donna, but I'm not real sure, so I think you'll need to make it again just to make certain. What do others think about us? And we're so concerned about what others think about us sometimes, and in different ways, I think, as we're older than when we're younger, certainly. But are we more concerned with that than we are concerned with what God thinks about us? Because that's really where our concern should be, if it needs to be anywhere. And fortunately for Joseph and Mary, they were willing to go there. We're not going to be as concerned about the world. We're going to be concerned about God. And this is to the point where people are going to look at Joseph and they're going to say, you know, there goes Joseph. Boy, he is a sinner. You know, one of those where the sinner has eight syllables in it. That's what kind of sinner he is. And Joseph is going to have to live with the stigma that people think that he has done so wrong and not listened and not following God faithfully, when actually he knows that he is following God faithfully, more faithfully than anyone other than Mary in the whole world can understand. But the fear that must be in one's life when we're actually willing to do what God wants of us more than what the world is expecting of us. He could have had Mary stoned to death. He would have been in his right to have Mary stoned for becoming pregnant while he was betrothed to her. But an angel comes and says, you know, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. And then I'm thinking in the dream. Now, you know, you have some of those lucid dreams where you can kind of, you know, control them a little bit, you know. And I'm thinking in his thoughts, he would say, yeah, right, Mr. Angel, you're not going to have to live it. But he's going to have to go through this. And he's willing to do this. And he's not worried about, you know, how are people going to look at me? Am I going to fit in? Am I going to have to be even more concerned about wearing the right kind of clothes with the right label on it so that everybody will think I'm good? Look at today and look at then and the things we're concerned about. For Joseph, he had to be concerned with not only what the world thought of him, but now he's also going to have to be concerned with parenting God. How do I discipline him for this if I need to discipline? You know, did it ever happen in there? How's this work? You know, what? Jesus, time out. I don't know. I can't picture it. I don't know what it must have been like for him. But he's going to have to be the father of the Son of God and raise him and teach him carpentry. And show him how things work in this world. He's going to have to change his diaper. And he's going to have to be a dad to this child that didn't belong to him, but was given to him and made his by the Most High. And that's where love begins to come in and can replace fear if we let it. Because it's a love for God that goes beyond the fear of what the world thinks. And it's a love for God that goes beyond a fear of what our old ideas and understandings and expectations were of anything. And we're going to love God more than we fear. We need to be concerned with what God thinks. Our hair, our shoes, our music, our politics, our beliefs, we're not going to agree with everyone. We know that. That's okay on those things. Where we find agreement with, and that's what's one of the most beautiful things about the church, is that we find agreement on Christ. And we bond together in that agreement. That what God has given us is true and holy and righteous and worthy of our devotion and our prayers and our praise. And we continue to recognize that what God has given us is going to be a guide for us, because as we seek to please God, we look forward to hearing that phrase, well done, good and faithful servant, at the end of our lives, so that we know that we will live with God forever one day. And even in the midst of having to deal with what would seem to be a disgrace from the world's viewpoint, being publicly disgraced is no small thing. And that's really what Joseph was facing. Being publicly disgraced and dealing with what's going to be next in my life. For us, it can come down to maybe we come to a point where we do have to turn aside from some of those folks that we've called friends that would lead us down paths that do not go to God, that would pull us away from God. In modern day vernacular, we might have to unfriend a few people. And maybe it might mean we have to look for another job that might even pay a little bit less, because where we were is not a healthy Christian atmosphere. And we need to remain true and faithful to what it is that we believe and stand for. And maybe we have somebody we know that what they're saying or doing goes against our conscience, and so we're going to have to go the other way. Even if that might be good or profitable by the world's view, We can't keep up with that. And maybe we might be shunned by some people. Some people might think we're some kind of religious nut because we are willing to go to church on Sunday instead of a ball game? Instead of fishing? I'm not saying we can't do these things now and again. But those that do them regularly, instead of worshiping God regularly, it shows where their hearts are. And maybe instead of conforming to the world, we need to conform to our God and with our God. And that's where we're going to make those continued connections and faith that will keep us not only strong in this world, no matter what we face, but also give us hope and life in the world to come. We might even be willing to do something as crazy as some people have done and give up our vacation time to go sweat it out and work on a mission trip. You're using your vacation to go on a mission? You're going to Belize? Oh, well, that makes sense. You're going to Belize. Yeah. You're going to where in Belize? Never heard of that. And it's not a place where you get to go and hang out on the beach, and it's not a place where you get to sit back and enjoy the cocktails every night lounging around, but you're going to work hard every day in the 98-degree weather. Well, it's not 98. It's actually more like 89, but it feels like 150. And wet. And you're going to do this for your vacation? Why would you do such a thing? Maybe that's what God is telling me I need to be doing to be obedient to His call. And so maybe using those monies for supporting someone else in missions, if I can't do that, might be what I need to do more than spending $150 eating out and going to a show tonight, which it adds up awfully quick. But it adds up even quicker in the areas of serving the Lord for those that can go and do what we can't. Maybe it's even in our lives where we're kind of afraid of that relationship with God itself. We have a fear because we've kind of stepped away from Him a little too long. Some folks are in that situation. Some folks have been keeping God at an arm's length. And we love the Lord, and we show that we love the Lord in so many ways, but there are so many things that we could do or should do or have done that we just aren't able to connect with God anymore on. And how do we get back to that closer relationship with God that we should have? I mean, how do I start reading the Bible again? Oh, that's easy. Open it to Genesis. There you are. Now, how do I start in the prayers again? That's easy. Bow your head, close your eyes, fold your hands, talk to God. How do I reconnect with the family of God? That's easy. Come to church. Join Bible study. You're there. You're there. You're connected. The obstacles that we place in our way in the relationship with God that we would be using as points of fear and getting closer to God are things that God can easily take down. The objects that we place between us and God that are from the rest of the world that keep us going in every direction but toward the Lord, those are going to be a little harder. But if we listen to God and we look for God, those can come down too. But we're going to have to be willing to not have the world agree with us all the time anymore. And not look the way the world wants us to look and not act the way the world wants us to act. But be a child of God. God speaks, we need to listen, we need to trust. And when God talks to us, and as God does talk to us through His Word all the time, when we're in His Word, we will obey. We will follow And whatever comes, we can say, yes, Lord. None of us are going to have, none of us will ever have a Mary or Joseph kind of experience. And that's simply because there's only one Son of God. That's been done. But will the Lord God talk to us and direct us in this life? Maybe even give us a message that gives us an understanding on where we should go and what we should be doing? As many of you have already experienced in life, sure, He can. He does. If we're open to that and listening for that. God's not going to give us a direction that He knows we're not going to follow unless that suits His purpose too. But God will lead us when we're ready to be led. Open your hearts, open your lives, open your minds, open your spirit. Look at the world and recognize this is not right for me. Open your heart and mind and spirit to God and come back. Follow and trust. Don't be concerned about what everyone else thinks. Be concerned about what God thinks. Trusting God when you're afraid? If you are trusting God, you won't need to be afraid any longer. In Jesus' name, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts, your minds, and your lives always in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, and our God. Amen.